Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, our study is in the book of Acts. If you're in a place to grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
Why don't you turn with me to Acts chapter 27. Paul the Apostle has been on his journey to Rome. As you remember, he's ready to get there and wants to preach the gospel in Rome. Really just the seat of all of everything that's going on in the government of their day and time. And he's wanting to address his society. And he's now been to Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, a lot of trouble set took over. We remember all that. And now he's kind of testified before the local government authorities and such. And he appealed to Caesar. And they said, to Caesar, you'll go. And so now he's en route. He's heading to Rome and to appeal to Caesar, to plead his case there. Well, in the journey, ended up getting caught up in quite a storm. We cannot go past this without thinking about the realities of the storms of life and just touching on it, just kind of touch on it a little bit, because it's real to all of us that it happens. You may find yourself this morning in a storm internally, or maybe even financially, or just emotionally, or whatever it might be. Maybe there's a spiritual turbulence happening in your life, but there are storms that happen, and there's different types of storms we find in the scriptures. But one thing that's guaranteed for sure is that Jesus said that it was very important for us to build on the rock. That's what we're to build upon, the rock. Jesus Christ being the rock, the sure foundation. This is the most important thing that we can think about whenever you're in a stormy time. Whenever I get in stormy situations, I always go back to what I do know. I don't get lost in all the question marks. I go back to what I do know. Because the question marks will just distract and confuse you. It's better to go with what you know that you know that you know. And I just go back to the rock. I know that Jesus loves me. I know that Jesus has a purpose. I know that Jesus has a plan. I know that Jesus has allowed the circumstances that I'm in. And I would encourage you to think that same way. Go through that thought process. Work through it to get to that point that you know that God knows. That's the most important thing, that you're on the foundation, the sure foundation of Jesus Christ. You see, when Jesus was talking about that in the Gospels, and he talked about the storms that happen, the guarantee is that they will happen. He said that when the storms come, and then he described both types of people, those who built their home on the sand, the storm comes, house comes down, it's on shaky ground. Those who build on the rock, storms come, batter up against the house stands. And so that's so important. What we see, the common denominator, is that the storms come. Becoming a Christian does not exempt you from struggles, does not exempt you from turbulent times. You're just not exempt. I'm not exempt. We're not exempt. That would be a false thing to put off to people that, well, if you become a Christian, maybe you won't have as many problems. That's not true. You may have more problems, but you've got hope. You've got solutions. You've got strength to get through those problems. And you really can find answers from the Lord. So when we hit those storms, a lot of times I like to review and think of what type of storm is it? You remember? Jonah got caught up in a storm. Jonah was supposed to go to Nineveh to preach the gospel. He didn't want to go, so he went the other way. He headed for Tarsus. Went the opposite direction of where he's supposed to go. And the Lord allowed a storm to what? Redirect his path, what he was supposed to be doing. Why? Because God loves him, God had a purpose for him, and God wanted to do a work in and through his life, and God cared enough to create the storm. And ultimately, the guys on the boat just come down to him. He's down in the bottom of the boat, and they just go, man, do you know anything about what's going on? You know? And they start talking, and he says, oh no, it's me. Just throw me overboard. You know, he's thinking, man, this is a great way I can end it all now. Just throw me overboard. You know, and so they go ahead and throw him overboard, but the storm really redirected his life. A great fish came, remember, the whale picked him up, shoo, off he goes. barfs them up a few days later up on shore, right? You guys remember that story right there in Nineveh? Now, did the purpose or the mission or any of the direction, or anything, did anything change? No. He tried to go his own way. And in transit, trying to go his own way, God loved him enough to bring him back in. And so God was redirecting his path through that storm. I find sometimes God's redirecting our paths, redirecting my path. And I want to be open to the leading of the Lord that way. Much more pleasant to not get swallowed up by the fish. But we can look at it in that way. There's also the storm that we saw that happened as the disciples were told sternly to get into the boat. And we've talked about this many times. But when he told them to get into the boat and go to the other side, I'll catch up with you over there. They get in the boat halfway out, middle of the night, all of a sudden, tempest breaks out, storms come up. Now all of a sudden, they find themselves tossed around, they're freaked out. Man, and this is the interesting thing. I think just like us oftentimes in our turbulent times, where are you, Lord? How did this happen? I did exactly, and I am doing what I believe you want me to do, and yet I'm struggling. I'm having a hard time. And the Lord just was, where was the Lord? You know, they think, where's God? Where are you, God? He's up on the mountain praying. And no doubt, interceding for them, because that's his office. He intercedes on all of our behalf continually. That's where he is right now. Sometimes we went, where are you, God? In the midst of our struggles, he's right there. He's praying for you. He wants to see you through this. What was the key in all of these things is ultimately, is what? Following the Lord, obedience to the Lord, following the Lord, and also trusting the Lord. Knowing that God, even in the midst of the turbulent times, even in the midst of the struggles, no matter what might be happening in our lives, God knows, God loves you, God cares about it. How are you so sure, Jim, that God knows what I'm going through? Well, I watch what happened with Job and all the situations that just erupted around his life all in the course of a 24-hour period. Just all hell broke loose in his life. And yet, he chose to keep close with God. Even though all his friends were saying all kinds of things, he stayed close with the Lord. But in that situation, prior to anything happening with Job, Satan had presented himself before God, and he asked about God's servant Job. He only serves you because you make his life, you know, you've got this protection around. He serves you because you just watch out over him, and that's the only reason he serves you, because you've blessed him. And so he comes in, and he said, yeah, listen, just don't take his life. So we know that the enemy came in. God was aware of what was happening. God allowed it. But what was the purpose? God had a purpose in allowing that to happen. It didn't prove out, you know, what a great guy Job was. You know, that didn't prove that out. It proved out that he trusted the Lord and God was with him no matter what was happening in his life. I think that's important for us, and I think that's important when we look at, and that's just a sampler. There's a couple other storm things that go on in the Bible, but that's kind of a sampler of some things that you can think about. God knows what's happening in your life. You know, I don't always know what's going on in each of your lives, but God does, and I want to foster dependency on Jesus Christ. That's one of my real objectives as a pastor, not to foster dependency on you calling into the office and trying to have a meeting. I want to foster dependency on Jesus Christ. I want you to lean on the Lord. I want you to trust God. I want you to embrace your relationship with Jesus Christ, because that's really where the hope, that's really where the help, that's really where the strength's going to come from. That's really where it all comes together, is our dependency on the Lord. Paul the Apostle is such a man as that. He's got caught up in a nasty storm. He's doing what he's supposed to be doing. He's just subject to the circumstances at hand right now. He's on his way to Rome, but he's just subject to the circumstances, isn't he? And here he's just going to Rome. He's got an all-expenses-paid trip. Not exactly the way we would look at an all-expenses-paid trip, but it's the Roman government sponsoring him on his trip. So it's kind of like getting a sponsor for missionary journeys, and they're the ones who are sponsoring this journey. But he's en route anyway. no matter what. He's en route, and he gets caught up in this storm. He warned the guys, but after he warned them, they went ahead and everybody just did whatever, and he had to go along with it, right? He got on, he went along with it. But he didn't say anything else until after it was said and done. He didn't say anything else until he had something really encouraging and worthwhile to say. What a great word. He says then that he's heard from the Lord. God ministered to him. And he said in verse 25, "Take heart, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told to me." And then he says, "But however, we must run aground on a certain island." And we pick it up here in verse 27. "Now when the 14th night had come," now these guys have gotten desperate, okay, on the boat. These are all seafaring men, okay? These are not, you know, just wimpy guys that just are, you know, these guys know what they're doing out there, but they've given up all hope. They even went to the extent of they just threw the tackle overboard. That wasn't the fishing tackle. That would be one thing. But this was all the equipment, all the pulleys, all the ropes, all the stuff that make the whole ship work. They just throw it overboard. I like the term that they said they let it drive. They just let her drive. You know, I think on Paul's end, you know, the guys that were with Paul, can you imagine thinking about that? Being one of the guys that's with him? Oh my goodness. What did I get myself involved in? As you're trying to hang onto the side of the ship and you overboard, you know, over and over. These guys haven't eaten for 14 days now because they've been just so sick. Seafaring fellas and those who are on the missionary journey, the tour, traveling with him. The 14th night had come, and as we were driven up and down the Adriatic Sea, you know, it just seemed... You ever felt like that? You're just being kind of driven up and down the Adriatic Sea. You know, you're just not sure exactly where this is all going. You're just driven up and down the Adriatic Sea. And about midnight, the sailors sensed that they were drawing near, right, getting close to some land. And they took soundings and found it to be 20 fathoms. And they found a little further. They took soundings again and found it to be 15 fathoms. It's getting shallower. Then fearing lest we would run aground on the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for day to come. You know, that midnight storm, that middle of the night storm that you can kind of find yourself in sometimes. Oh, the times that you get up, you can't rest quite as well. You're stirring. Something's churning a little bit of a storm brewing. Could have been the pizza. You don't always know. The extra bit of salsa on your tacos. But you're up. You're kind of wondering, what's going on? What's happening? That disquieted sense that happens in a storm. But what is the storm? You know, all I know is that God's got a purpose and God's got a plan in it. We spend our lives, God help us, to see things, our lives biblically. Because we spend our lives trying to insulate ourselves from the storm. When Jesus said, you're sure to get a storm. You're sure to get more than one storm. The storms are going to come. What should my focus be as a believer then? Man, I want to build on the rock. This is why we really believe in just teaching through the Bible. This is why we really put an emphasis on our worship time to draw close to the Lord, that we might prepare our hearts to receive from the Word, that God would minister to us. Because I really believe that's where all the help comes from. Be on the rock. Build on the rock. They prayed for day to come. Man, they're just hoping, please, may the sun just come up. Can you imagine being out in a boat like that? It's dark and it's stormy. You have all your tackles gone. You have no way to really run the boat anymore. And you're just kind of a victim in a sense of all of the external circumstances going on around you. It's very real. And these guys are out there in the midst of that kind of trouble, and they're struggling over this. They're just praying for day to come. And as the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship, when they had let down the skiff into the sea, under pretense of putting out anchors from the prow, they kind of went out there secretly, and some of the guys started there trying to bail out. They're trying to split. You know, sometimes it's easy in the midst of the storm the confusion sets in. We become uncertain, and the uncertainty, we become like the armadillo. We've talked about what happens with the fear of the armadillo. Armadillos very rarely just get run over. We see them up and down the highway. I saw some last night when I was coming back about 11. Saw some off on the side of the road, some up right, you know, where they'd hit and rolled off, some right in the middle of the road. Fear causes the armadillo to jump straight up. They get freaked out when a car goes over them, they jump straight up and they get killed. You know, fear is an interesting factor. The deer jumps out, looks at the headlights, freezes. Done. But either way, fear is it's dangerous when not used wisely, you see? God uses it that we would, what? He is my, fear is a real thing, isn't it? That's a real thing for all of us. Now, guys, I know we don't like to talk about that, but that's really what happens. These guys are seafaring fellas. They think, man, I don't know what else I'm doing. I'm going to let Gigget a whole few of them. Hey, let's lower down the skiff together and we'll take off. We're getting near something. Paul says, no go. Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. He says, we all are in it together. I like that. We're all in it together. We're in this. We're going to stick with it. I think that's a good word for the body of Christ. Man, if it gets a little difficult, we want to bail out. We want to shift gears. You know, and it's just, that's not what we're called to do. I think so many times it's so important we look at something like this, we say, man, you know, it's just, it's not the answer. Stay with it. Be a part of the solution, Paul says here. The soldiers cut away the ropes off the skiff and let it fall off. All righty. Phew, man. They just cut the ropes down and let the skiff hit the ground. To them, now to these, some of these guys, the skiff is the only safety net out there. The boat's got no way to drive, to run it anymore. Everything, all hope is lost. We're still in this storm. It's getting shallower and shallower. We're about to be dashed on the rocks. It doesn't look very promising. There's this one guy, though, that says he's heard from God. Great. We've been running around on these seas for years and years and years. This guy's heard from God. Faith starts to wax and wane a little cold, you know. They get freaked out. Our only hope, we can get in the skiff and we can head for somewhere, you know. I don't know where we'll go, but we'll go somewhere in the skiff. You know, skiffs are not deep-hulled boats in a stormy sea. Fear causes us to do weird things, doesn't it? It doesn't really make a whole lot of sense either, but anything to get out, you see, fear gripped them. Confusion set in. Uncertainty was there. I don't know how this is going to play out, so we're going to bail out. And the soldiers cut away the ropes off the skiff and let it fall off. Sorry about that. Looks like you're not going to be able to do that, guys. And as the day was about to dawn, Paul implored them all to take food, saying, today is the 14th day. You have waited and continued without food and eaten nothing. It wasn't because they were fasting. This was a forced fast because of the high seas that they were in. But Paul's thinking, hey, I know what's kind of coming down. These guys need to take in nourishment. Therefore, I urge you to take nourishment, verse 34, for this is for your survival, since not a hair will fall from the head of any of you. Do we believe this guy? Are they to believe in Paul? Is that what Paul has implied? Who did he say he heard from? What was Paul standing on? What was the implication? Is Paul saying believe in himself? Is that what he's saying? That's not what he's saying there. He's encouraging everyone on board to trust in God. We're in this together. Take some nourishment. He knows what's coming. God's been ministering to him. He says, not even a hair will fall from the head of any of you. You're all going to be okay. Everything's going to be all right. Isn't that a great thing? The voice of calm and reason in the midst of all this turbulence. The voice of calm and reason. Why can Paul be calm and reasonable? Because he really understands how the ocean works. Because he really is quite a oceanographer and quite a guy that's traveled all over on boats. He has traveled all over on boats. But, you know, it's not like he's some great sailor or something. Paul's really encouraging them to believe in God, to trust God, that all of this will work out. You see, I'm not, even for me, I don't encourage, but just to, follow exactly what I say and do. No, follow God. Let's trust God together. Let's see what God's going to do. Let's let God work it all out. That's part of the adventure. That's part of the fun. Man, we've lost that sense of adventure. My wife's grandfather left from out this way and headed on a covered wagon for the state of Washington. You know, you think about that. That's a sense of adventure. My car's got 170,000 miles on it. I venture to say a lot of you wouldn't want to go very far with me in it. You know? But this is just, where's the sense of adventure? You know? I don't go very far in it either, really. But that's why there's rental car places. But the thought really is sometimes we get so balled up in the securities of this life that are they really that secure anyway? And the Lord would draw us into that thought and say, think about who He is. It's the 14th day. You haven't eaten anything. You need to eat something. Take up some strength. It's for your survival. Not even a hair will be lost from your head. There's hope. There's help. And when He had said these things, He took bread and gave thanks to God. He thanked God for what they had. Whatever crummy little sustenance they had left, He thanked the Lord for it in the presence of them all. He made sure everybody heard, gathered them all together. And when they had broken it, He began to eat. And then, verse 36, they were all encouraged and also took food themselves. And in all were 276 persons on the ship. And so when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and threw out the wheat into the sea. So now, whatever was left over, now that's even thrown over.
Thank you for tuning in today and for listening to the radio program, for listening to God's Word. And I know God has a perfect plan for your life. And it starts, really, by giving our hearts to the Lord. If you've not given your heart to the Lord, or you're just in a place where you have a sense that you're distant from God, and you just want to open your life up to the Lord, you know, the Word says, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Isn't that great to know that we have a God that's full of grace and mercy, that He's willing to pardon all of our sin, to forgive us of all of our unrighteousness? It's a simple prayer, just to give your life to Jesus. Man, all things become new when we give our lives to the Lord. If you just pray this simple prayer along with me, Jesus, I want to open my heart up to You. I want to ask that You would forgive me of my sin, my unrighteousness, that You would pardon me. I thank You so much for that grace and mercy that You've shown me. Lord, thank You for the love that put You on the cross, that You did that willingly for me. And Lord, again, I just open my heart to You. I receive You as my personal Lord and my Savior. And I thank You for that free gift of everlasting life that You've given me. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us or another Bible teaching church in your area so you can be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. And you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/CalvaryChapelKC. Also, Living Fountains podcasts are available in the iTunes Store, and you can download them at no cost. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, the service times and directions can be found on calvarychapelkc.com. Or you can simply contact the church office at 913-681-1635. It's been great spending time with you in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains.
Come, Lord Jesus, come.